Those who think that the Bible came into being by God dictating it to human stenographers who wrote it down faithfully and accurately are going to have a hard time explaining the books of the Psalms. Unless you think that God is such an egoist that God says wonderful thing about God's self to a human secretary who then writes it down and reads it back. The Psalms are an account of humanity's experience of God and an attempt to put that experience into words. Some of those experiences are anguish, like Psalms 22 that begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? But not this psalm. This psalm catches the poet in a mood of exuberance, a mood of triumph, a mood of wonder, a tripartite wonder. First of all, a wonder that God is such an amazing creator, has brought into being a vast, mind-boggling universe. And second, God has endowed humanity with extraordinary powers of creativity. But even more mind-boggling, the God of this universe, who has brought this vast universe into being, cares about creatures such as us. And yet, says the psalmist, that is exactly the case. And so he erupts, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. The creation is so amazing. The beauty is so evident that even, says the psalmist, infants and children express wonder at the majesty of creation. And yet even the most sublime poet, the most eloquent writer, can only express a fraction of creation's beauty. And yet the psalmist cannot help but try to say, how wondrous is it all? And yet, the psalmist has a hard time wrapping his mind around the fact that the God of this seemingly limitless universe has poured love and creative power into human beings. What is man? What is humanity that you are mindful of him? And yet you are, says the psalmist. In fact, the psalmist says something almost blasphemous. You have created us a little lower than God. The psalmist says, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, the unknown creatures that scuttle along the fathomless deeps, you have given us dominion over the environment. You have enlisted us as stewards. Stewards. Caretakers of God's majestic world. We are caretakers of creation. God has given us that awesome responsibility to take care of the environment in which we have been blessed. Do we take seriously that responsibility as stewards, as God's co-creators in sustaining creation? Some years ago, great journalist Norman Cousins wrangled an appointment with one of his idols, the world-renowned cellist Pablo Casals. They were meeting for a breakfast time, and Cousins was so excited until Casals came shuffling into the room. A 90-year-old man whose back was bent by like a parenthesis and who seemed lifeless, listless, struggling to breathe, beset by emphysema. And he seemed only a shell of the great artist. And his wife led him not to the breakfast table, but to the piano, where she seated him, his fingers gnarled by rheumatoid arthritis. And yet, as he sat at that piano, he began to play a piece by Mozart. And his fingers began to unfurl, and his lungs began to expand, and suddenly the room was filled with this marvelous sound. And he moved from Mozart into a piece by Brahms, and Cousins was astonished, but even more astonished by the fact Casals was not even really aware of his presence. He wasn't playing to impress his visitor. He was playing to create beautiful sound. Caught up in the act of creation, Cousins realized he was witnessing a miracle. That as this man created and used his talent, it was as if the spirit of vitality infused him. He did not become young, but he was fully alive. What are we creating? How are we using our talents? How are we investing our gifts as stewards of our lives, as stewards of the lives around us, as stewards of our earth? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name. Yes, the majesty of God is found in creation, but it's found even more self-evidently when we fulfill our roles as God's children, as God's stewards. The magnificence of God is on display when we reflect God's glory through how we invest our gifts. Anna Jones, one of our college kids, comes and stands before us and reads a poem. In Anna's reading, we see her faith, her creativity, her courage. But we also see the investment of her mother and father. We see reflected their faith, their creativity, their courage reflected in her witness. So too, when we create, when we invest our gifts, we shine with the glory of our heavenly parent who has called us to be stewards of divine creation. We make evident the magnificence and majestic nature of God and of our world. Over the course of my ministry, I've often had people say to me, "Dr. Krimmer, I don't really know what I should be doing with my life. I wish God would give me a sign." And I usually say, "I'll bet God already has. What is it you like to do?" "I like to work with children. I like to build things. I like to solve problems. I like to sell." Well, if you love something, if you love doing it, that's probably what God is calling you to do. What gives you fulfillment is probably what you're supposed to be doing. What leaves you unfulfilled when you can't do it is a sign what you ought to be doing with your gifts, how you ought to be investing your life. Creativity is synonymous with using your gifts and doing what you love. Creativity is doing what you love. Now, every job has aspects we'd love to delegate. Every job has aspects we regard as tedious. But what you find fulfillment in, that's what God wants you to be doing. What leaves you unfulfilled when you don't do it, that's the sign of where your gifts and talents lie. Maybe you have a friend who's a teacher, grousing about the mountain of paperwork. Maybe a friend who's a lawyer, burdened with all kinds of cases. A counselor, burnt out with the number of problems that come across her desk. And if you didn't let that teacher, or that lawyer, or that counselor go into their office for about 2 weeks, they would be ecstatic. But shortly thereafter, they would be miserable. Miserable because they know they aren't doing what they love. Some years ago, the National Hockey League players went on strike. Not many people noticed, but they did. And it wasn't long as negotiations over their contract stalled, stories began to leak out of the National Hockey League players playing with high school teams, creating pickup games, meeting on ice just to go play because they couldn't help doing what they loved. What brings you fulfillment, what brings you satisfaction, is probably how God wants you to use your gifts. The psalmist says those almost blasphemous words, "Our God, you have made us just a little lower than yourself." And yet we shy away from being too creative because we focus upon our faults and our frailties and our failures. Some years ago in the Civil War, the Union general by the name of Joe Hooker, he had superior troops, superior position, superior weaponry to destroy his Confederate opponent, and instead of winning a decisive victory, he was routed. Congressional investigation ensued. He was called on the carpet and asked what happened, and the old crusty general said these memorable words, "I think Joe Hooker just lost confidence in Joe Hooker." How many of us could give that testimony? Our faults, our fears, our frailties keep us from maximizing our creativity. We're daunted by the fact that so many of our creative efforts, our creative invitations, our creative ambitions don't come to fruition. We fail. Don't we realize that our failures are but grist for future success? Bud Paxson is known as a multimillionaire, the owner of the Home Shopping Network, hailed as a successful businessman. One day, Bud Paxson stood before a group of businessmen and said, "I've started 27 enterprises. Two of them have made money. So just how successful am I really?" I think of a teenage boy employed by the telegraph company to receive Morse code and then to pass it on down the line. But the messages were often garbled, and he had a hearing problem from a childhood injury. And so he created a machine to record the dots and dashes of Morse code. The telegraph company thought it was a waste of paper, and they fired the teenager. So the kid kept working, and another 10 years produced a more sophisticated version of that machine that was able to record sound. We call it the phonograph. For you young people, the record player. Thomas Edison used the failure of getting fired to launch a success that launched an amazing career. Our failures shouldn't daunt our creativity. They should fuel it. But it requires resilience. Casals, the great cellist, said, yes, creativity is inspiration, but inspiration has to find us working. Inspiration has to find us working. Persistence, resilience. I think of Henry David Thoreau, one of the acclaimed American writers. Thoreau once admitted, I have a library of 800 volumes, 700 of which I have written myself. Failures that fueled success. One of the great jump shooters of all time is a guy by the name of Rick Mount. And one day a reporter said, you must be incredibly naturally gifted. He said, nope, but I do make it a point not to leave the gym until I have made 500 jumpers every single day. Creativity requires persistence and resilience. In this era, this season, when so many of you have sinus infections, aren't you glad there's such a thing as antibiotics? Do you realize how much antibiotics are a testament to creative persistence? Louis Pasteur, eons ago, had the idea microbes could be domesticated to kill microbes. That's all antibiotics is. It's microbes killing microbes. But it took 50 years of trial and mostly error to begin to harness that idea. A young researcher named Alexander Fleming failed time after again trying to harness the idea of antibiotics. And one day, through an open window, a spore of Penicillium notatum landed on his Staphylococcus bacteria. Fleming never cleaned his office. He left on vacation. He came back to find that the Penicillium notatum had killed the Staphylococcus bacteria. Penicillin came out of that chance discovery. But that chance discovery rooted in years of persistent and resilient research. And penicillin saved hundreds of thousands of lives during World War II. And antibiotics keep us healthy in our present day. All because people were creative, but also persistent and not daunted by failure. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Why have you given us dominion? And yet you have. We are stewards of our lives, stewards of each other, stewards of our earth and our environment. If we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, then we are being made every day a new creature. God has not just created us, God is creating us. Do we feel that? Do we claim that? Do we understand that our role as stewards is why God brought us into life? May we pray together. Lord, you have called us, you have endowed us with diverse gifts of creativity. You've called us to be stewards of our lives, of those around us, and of our world. May we claim that role in all seriousness and with passion. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.